Praise the Lord. Thank you, Nate. Well, and we're glad. You know, that's one of the beautiful things for me. One of the things I appreciate is when I'm not able to be here, I don't have to worry at all. Matter of fact, I probably want to stick around as much as I can because, you know, if you realize how capable things are carried on in my absence, you may come to the conclusion that I'm really not needed. Barbara's shaking her head. But with all of that said, I do thank you. Thank you, Brother Fred. I understand that God visited you in a special way last week. So I'm thankful for that. Which, by the way, while I'm on that, thank you so much just for your grace, your amazing release of us to go and enjoy some time off. We spent a few days up in the Amish country. Yeah, that was really fun. We had a really, really good Amish meal. It's interesting, though, you know, we love our Amish brothers and sisters, but it is interesting. You know, I mean, even though they don't use electricity, right? I heard someone say this yesterday. Until it comes time to run your credit card, and then they use electricity. Well, that's okay. I mean, it's all right. We enjoyed ourselves in the Amish country. Then we went up and spent a day at Hershey Park. That was fun. I've ridden roller coasters all over the place, and there was a roller coaster at Hershey Park that really intimidated me. I'm serious. I love roller coasters. The bigger the better, the higher, the faster, the better. This one, I don't know if it was just that particular day or what it was, but this one, where's Seth? We were both just shaking with adrenaline. It was just pretty intimidating, but it was fun. We had an awesome time at Hershey. If you ever go to Hershey, go on a Tuesday. It was still some people there, but it was really great. It was amazing, great visit. And then we went up to Buffalo and to Niagara, and that was awesome. I went to Niagara as a little kid, and I remember it, you know, just vaguely. But to stand there again and to just see, you talk about the earth displaying the awesomeness of God. Oh, wow. And that was great. And then we had to make a quick trip to get back home in time. Thank you so much for your graciousness in allowing us to go, and for your prayers and thoughts, and for welcoming us back home. I was chomping at the bit, brother. This is 2 weeks that I wasn't able to be up here and minister God's word. We had Dr. Chapman 2 weeks ago, and then Brother Fred last week. And so did you bring your lunch? Because, I mean, I've been holding back now. No, we won't be here that long. But I do want to just welcome everyone here today. We're glad to have our brothers and sisters from our Korean congregation joining us today. Amen. Angelina, good to see you. You feeling better, sis? Feeling better? Yeah? Okay. You don't seem convinced. We're continuing to pray for you. How's that? Amen. And hey, Brother Fred, you got a procedure tomorrow? Yeah, we're going to pray for you. We're going to have a pacemaker put in tomorrow. We believe in God for quick recovery and renewed strength. Amen? Amen. Praying for Mary today, too. She's out, not doing well. Anybody else, as we go along here, just want to just say, yeah, I got something. Yeah, just hands. Lord, we just thank you today for who you are. We thank you for your awesome power. We thank you, Lord, for knowing what we need, even when we don't know what we need. We thank you, Lord, that you're not limited in any way, that we're not asking you and trying to convince you to do something that is against your plan for our lives. But, Lord, we just simply acknowledge that you are everything that we need. And so we have no shame, we have no discouragement, and we come to you in full faith today, believing that you are all in all, that whatever it is we stand in need of today, you are more than sufficient. You are more than sufficient, and you have every answer to every question we could possibly have. And so, Lord, we trust in you today. Lord, be with us today as we open your word. Teach us by your Spirit. Show us from your word your plan, your purpose, your desire for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Turn in your Bible if you have one with you. I didn't get the scripture to Jake in time, so we won't have it on the overhead. Yeah, kids, you can go. I see Miss Nanya taking off, and the kids are just running down the hallway. That's a good sign. They're ready to go to kids' church, right? All right, so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. While you're turning to Acts 17, just real quick, want to touch base. The bulletin says that we'll have our discipleship class this Wednesday. Actually, we won't. Sorry, I didn't get that message to Lisa either when she was doing the book. I'm going to be out of town again this next week. Pray for me. I'm going to be down working with a Bible school down in Greenville, Texas. So pray for us as we work with that school. Pray for me tomorrow. I got to fly through all of that storm and stuff that's coming ashore. Pray for those folks in Louisiana and Mississippi. Wow. It's heartbreaking over and over. You know, guys, I think what one of the words that came to us this morning was that we are to be a people of discernment. We're to be a people who understand the seasons of God. And just so we understand, all of these weather events, earthquakes and floods and drought and fires, all of these things that are happening, I understand they've always happened. I get that. But not with the frequency and not with the severity that we're seeing now. And I don't buy into this idea that this is somehow man-caused because of the internal combustion engine. I don't buy into that foolishness at all. I understand that there's a God, a great God, who oversees it all, who in these last days is placing all of the pieces in place. Now, my friends, now is the time. Hear me, hear me. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. Now is the time to anchor deep. Now is not the time to be surface in your relationship with God. Now is not the time to be casual. Now's the time to anchor deep. So just let that set with you today. We are nearing the end. And that is exciting, and it's also a bit intimidating. Because we need to be, we are called to be, we must be a people of the Spirit and a people of power and a people who have the good news of hope to proclaim, because there are so many people who are hopeless. And it's only going to get worse. And so we must be a people who are anchored deeply and firmly established in our faith, that we might be a source of hope and help to others. Amen. Amen. All right, just that's a freebie. That's not the sermon for today. That's a freebie. You can just have that one. All right. All right, immediately following the service this morning, those who are who head up and who kind of spearhead some of our ministries, in a food bank, community cafe, our music ministry, the children, J-12 and High Point. What are some of the other ones I'm missing? Men's ministry, women's ministry. We're going to be having just kind of a powwow, a brainstorming. What we want to do is make sure we're all on the same page before we go back into the fall and launch into the fall ministries for when school starts back. So just want to touch base on that. And by the way, it's not just for those who are already involved. Maybe you've been saying, you know, I want to get involved. I want to do something. I want to find out some more about some of these different ministry opportunities. This is your chance. Come and learn some more about those and help in the strategizing and discerning of what God would have us to do in these different ministries. And we're going to do that right on the other side of that wall. And we're going to have a good lunch. And we just encourage you to be a part of that. All right? All right. Is everybody good? All right. Did you find Acts chapter 17 yet? All right. Today is an introduction. It's an introduction to a new series that I want to start. This is a series God laid on my heart months ago. And so I was trying to think, do I just jump right in? And then this thought came to me. No, you got to lay a foundation. Put forth an introduction that will kind of serve as an undergirding, something that we can keep in our minds as we go through these next several weeks. And so that's what I want to do today. I want to establish a foundation for this new series that we're about to start. And I want to begin by making a declaration. And I want to establish something very firmly right from the very beginning. And that is simply this. God exists independently and does not need anything. Before you were born, God already was. Before your great-grandparents, God already was. Before the founding of this country, God already was. Before the nations themselves were formed, God already was. Before the very foundations of the earth itself were laid, God already was. For the scripture says, in the beginning, God. So everything that we are, everything that we see, everything that we experience, all of these things exist outside of God. For He alone is eternal. And because He is eternal, and because He existed before and shall exist after, listen, if we all go by the way of the grave, God will still be. I don't want anything to happen to this church, but if this church should cease to exist, God Himself shall still exist. He has always existed and He shall always exist. God is eternal, and as God, as an eternal God, He needs nothing. He's not dependent on me to declare Him as God, for He is God whether I declare it or not. He's not dependent on you acknowledging Him as God, for He is God whether you ever come to that conclusion or not. He is God right by Himself and needs nothing. Here, Acts chapter 17 today. Acts chapter 17, verse 24. That's where we want to start reading. Acts 17, 24. Now, the setting is this. The Apostle Paul was on one of his missionary journeys. And he found himself in Athens, Athens, Greece. Athens was the home of much of the thinking, much of the higher philosophical thinking of the day. And there was this, there were temples and memorials to every kind of known god in the world. There was a temple to this one and a temple to that goddess and that god and this. And just in case they missed some god that they didn't know about, they had erected this one place of dedication, and it was specifically said, now this one is for the unknown god. Just in case we miss someone, this place is dedicated to the unknown god. Well, you talk about confusing. The word God itself doesn't lend itself to other gods. There's either God or there's not God. And so here these folks, they've got this, these great high and mighty philosophical thinkers. They've got this temple, this building, this dedicated place for an unknown God. And in steps the Apostle Paul, full of the Spirit of God and full of God's wisdom. And he says, aha! Now I'm going to get you. And speaking to these great high thinkers, these philosophers of their day, Acts chapter 17, hear Paul's words to these philosophers in Athens. Verse 24, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven, and does not live in temples made by human hands, nor is He served by human hands as if He needed anything. Because He Himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man, Adam, from one man He made every nation of men to inhabit the whole earth, and He determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their land. God intended that they would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He's not far from each one of us. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. And so I want to declare it one more time. God exists independently and needs nothing. He doesn't need our buildings. He doesn't need our songs. He doesn't need our tithes. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. I'd like to think sometimes he needs me. I better get busy. The work of God depends on... Does it? The work of God went on just fine before I was ever born. And should I go by the way of the grave, the work of God will continue on. He doesn't need me. Here's a revelation. In all of your goodness and in all of your talent and with all of your ability, my friend, he doesn't need you either. He's God. And as God, he needs nothing. And as God, he needs no one. And so this whole idea of a man-centered gospel is sickening. It's sickening to me. It's sickening to God. It ought to be sickening to the body of Christ that understands that it is in him that we live and move and have our being. This man-centered gospel. I say we get back to a Christ-centered gospel. That everything that is exists because he made it. And for his purposes and for his glory and to serve his desires. It's a God-centered gospel. He's eternal. He's self-reliant. He needs nothing. But with that established, I also want to establish this fact. Though he doesn't need anything, he desires relationship with those that he has created. And so the very fact that we have the opportunity, the very fact that we have the option to be in relationship with the great God of the universe, who doesn't need me, but wants me, it ought to bring us to our knees in humility. He gets along just fine without me, but out of his great love, he desires relationship with me and with you. And so, we have a bit of a situation because we have a God who doesn't need us, but a God who desires to be in relationship with us. Well, just this passage from Acts chapter 17 highlights the point that I want to make today. See, he desires relationship with us so much that he himself takes the initiative to make it happen. Verse 25 says, he gives all men breath and life and everything else. Verse 26 says, he is the one that made the nations and appointed their times. Verse 27, he is the one that intended that we should seek him and reach out to him and find him. He is the one who continually takes the initiative to bridge that relationship with mankind. I remember a song from many years ago. I won't sing it. I'll spare you of that. But I want to quote some of the words, and it goes this way. The gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord, it was so vast the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to his domain, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. So he came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. He's a God who throughout all of history and even today in this service takes the initiative to build relationship with his people. Well, it seems to me that we ought to ask a question at this point. So why wouldn't God just leave it up to us to initiate that relationship? You know, God wants relationship with us, and he gives us free will. Why wouldn't he just sit back and say, well, if you want to find me, seek me? Why wouldn't he leave it up to us to initiate that relationship with him? Well, there's a couple of reasons. The first one I want us to understand is that because we're all born in sin and we all are born with and live with a sin nature, listen, we don't even have the desire to initiate relationship with him. Listen what Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 12 say. Romans chapter 3, 10 and 12. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All of us have turned away, and all of us together have become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. So you want to know why he doesn't leave it up to us? Because we don't even want it. Left on our own, apart from God's intervention, we would continue to go astray, never desiring God or the things of the kingdom. We're selfish by nature. We're sinful by nature. And you see, seeking after God is a holy thing. And it is a good thing. And as a sinful man or as a sinful woman, sinful people can't seek after that which is holy and that which is good of our own initiative. He has to take the initiative if that relationship is ever to be formed. And so the first reason God doesn't leave it up to us to take the initiative with him is because we don't even want to. And there's another reason. Let's just say somehow, if we could overcome the selfishness of the sinful nature and there was somehow an ability that we could muster up within ourselves and we really wanted to, we had a desire to know God. Even if we had the desire, we don't have the ability. Because John chapter 6, verse 44, these are the words of Jesus himself. Hear what Jesus would say. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So even if you wanted to, you couldn't, apart from the initiative of God. So here's the situation. On one hand, we've got a God who, though he doesn't need us, has a desire to be in relationship. That's on one hand. And on the other hand, you have a people who neither have the willingness, the desire, or the ability to enter into that relationship with that holy God. That's a problem. When you have a God who desires us and a people who don't desire him back. And even if we did, no ability to cross that vast valley that separates us from a holy God. And so if that relationship with God is ever going to be established, if God's desire to know us in relationship will ever be fulfilled, he has to take the initiative. He has to. I'm going to go back to Ephesians. You thought we were done with Ephesians. Here we are again. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Listen to this. As for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you used to walk when you conformed to the ways of this world and of the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. At one time, we all lived among them, fulfilling the cravings of our flesh and indulging its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature children of wrath. Verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. even when we were dead in our trespasses. Get that. You're a dead man. You're a dead one. You don't have the willingness. You don't have the desire. You don't have the ability. And so He takes the initiative. Even while we were stuck in the terribleness of our sin, God made a way. For it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming days He might display the surpassing riches of His grace, demonstrated by His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not from yourself. You can't initiate it. Not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which God has prepared in advance as our way of life. But see, here's the thing. This idea of God taking the initiative to build relationship with His people, it isn't something that's unique to the New Testament. You don't have to wait until the appearance of Jesus on the scene to understand that all along God has been taking the initiative to build and bridge relationship with His people. You can, from the very beginning, Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, we all know the story. Adam and Eve had sinned and had fallen away from God. They used to, previous to this sin, they would walk with Him daily. The Bible says they would walk with Him in the cool of the day in the garden, and they would fellowship with Him as a man would with his friend. Can you imagine that? Just walking with God in a pristine, perfect garden. Oh, what intimacy, what closeness mankind had with God. And through their own sin and disobedience, they lost that and they tried to hide. You're trying to hide from God among trees that He Himself made. You're trying to cover yourself with leaves that He Himself made. And you're hiding from Him. And the Bible says, not even skipping a beat. You want to know how much God desires relationship? Without even skipping a beat, God showed up right on time. He was just going to resume that relationship. You know, I don't know if this is true or not, but some theologians say this. If Adam and Eve would have come out from hiding and would have joined God, it would have been just as if no sin had occurred. But instead, they chose to hide from Him. That's what we do, isn't it? We hide. We hide behind excuses. We hide behind habits. We hide behind all kinds of man-made, even religion, we hide behind it. And God is wanting to fellowship and walk with us. And if He doesn't take the initiative, we're going to stay in hiding. We're still hiding under a tree somewhere. We're still covering ourselves up with something that we ourselves have crafted and pulled together, trying to hide from a holy God. And He steps out and takes the initiative and He says, "Where are you guys?" He knew exactly where they were. "Where are you?" "God, we sinned and so we hid." God begins to lay out the plan. "I knew you would." That's why there was a Lamb of God who was slain from the very foundation of the world. And Genesis chapter 3, later on in that same chapter, He says, "There'll come one, the seed of the woman, and the enemy will bruise his heel." But that seed, that Jesus Christ, would crush the head of the serpent. So all the way back from the very first falling away from God, God took the initiative to restore relationship. And then we fast forward. There's a man named Abram minding his own business in a land called Ur. He wasn't seeking after God. We don't see anywhere in Scripture where Abraham was seeking a covenant with God. But God in His sovereignty reached out to Abram, called him out. "I'm going to make a covenant with you. but I didn't ask for a covenant. I know, I'm taking the initiative. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. Whoa, I was minding my own business here. I didn't ask for none of this. I know, but I desire a people that I can call my own. I'm taking the initiative to make this happen. And so he calls him out, and he changes his name to Abraham, and changes his wife's name to Sarah, and they become the mother and father, the great nation of Israel. Fast forward a little bit more, and you got a man named Moses. He'd lost his temper. He'd killed someone in anger. He's just trying to run away. He just doesn't want to be bothered. Just leave me alone. I messed up. Just let me get away, and I just leave me alone. And God wouldn't leave him alone. God took the initiative and set a bush on fire that would never burn up. We don't see anywhere where Moses was saying, God, give me a sign. Oh, God, I'm seeking after you. No, he was out there running away, trying to hide again. And God interrupted him and took the initiative and set a bush on fire, set in motion a plan that would set his people free. God continually takes the initiative. And then when they finally are free, they're out in the wilderness, you got all of these millions of people and they're scattered everywhere, and God intended for them to be in relationship with him, not just a bunch of scattered people. And so he does, this is amazing to me, he does something. He says, Moses, I'm going to give you specific plans. I'm going to lay it out for you. Write down not just the covering of the tabernacle, not just the linen and the beaver skins, and not just what the poles are to be. I'm gonna even write down to the fact of what you're gonna make that little couplet from, the poles, every little detail. Nothing was left in question. But God said, look, I'm gonna give you very specific instructions. Get this. Don't be bothered by that. Get this. I'm going to give you very specific instructions because, see, I'm holy and I exist in holiness. And when you come to me, you don't come to me on your terms. You come to me on my terms. And I desire a relationship with you so much, I'm not going to let you just throw any old thing together and call it God. I'm going to give you very specific instructions on how you are to come to me. But I want you to come to me so badly that I'm going to provide those very specific instructions for you so that when you come, your coming will be acceptable to me. And so he gave Moses very detailed description of what that tabernacle in the wilderness would look like and exactly how they would put it together. And who exactly was to serve and exactly how they were to serve, every single detail. Because he wanted, this is what the scripture said. It said, I'm going to give you this tabernacle, this is the key, that I may dwell among you. Who's taking the initiative? We don't see anywhere where Moses is saying, God, can you show us how to build something? Because we want you to dwell among us. No, they're complaining. They're building idols. And God said, no. I have such a desire to dwell among you, but you can't do it on your terms. You have to do it on mine. I'm going to tell you exactly how to come to me, that I may dwell among you. So throughout Scripture, we see that God is the one who takes the initiative. You don't want to, and you can't even if you wanted to. And so he does. He takes the initiative. And the ultimate way that God took the initiative to build relationship with us was through his Son. For God, Nathan sang about it a while ago, for God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Again, you can't just come to me any old way. I'm a holy God, and I exist in perfect holiness, and you're not going to come to me just with your old, hey, what's up? You don't walk into the presence of a holy God like that. You can only come through the righteousness of Jesus. And so God, yet again, took the initiative. Time after time. And those are only a few examples that I could just rattle off. God, time after time,
took the initiative to build that relationship that he so desires. That's the foundation, because in the coming weeks, I want us to take a look at a passage of Scripture that many of us probably have never viewed in the way that I hope and pray that God will help us to see it. It is a passage of Scripture from the book of Exodus, specifically Exodus chapter 20. It is a passage of Scripture that we commonly refer to as the Ten Commandments. But I had to lay this foundation today, otherwise you might get the idea that in the coming weeks I'm just going to lay out in front of you a list of 10 do's and don'ts. I want us to understand that even in the giving of the law, even in the giving of these Ten Commandments, it was God Himself taking the initiative. I want you to know what I'm like. And I'm going to describe myself to you in 10 ways. I want you to understand that I desire relationship with you so much, and I desire to love you and to be in communion with you, but not on your terms. It has to be on mine, because I'm holy and you're not. And if you try to come to me on your terms, it's not going to end well for you. But because I desire you so much, I'm going to spell it out very clearly. 10 ways that describe very clearly who I am. And in doing so, it's going to lay out 10 principles for how I intend for you to live in relationship with me. So please, let's get it out of our minds that the Ten Commandments is really an unfortunate name. Because more than just a list of 10 things that we must do or we can't do, it's not a list of do's and don'ts. It is the initiative of God to say, I desire you so much. Here is the way that you can live in relationship with me. And in doing so, live in relationship one with another. Because if you say you love God and don't love your neighbor, you lie and the truth isn't in you. And so these 10 commandments, these 10 principles are going to give us, with God's help, it's going to give us some real clear understanding of just who God is in these 10 areas and how He intends for us to live in relationship with Him. Understand this. It's not you don't have some killjoy up in heaven. You don't have some God who is saying, just let me see just how miserable I can make their life. I'm going to give them this list of 10 things that are impossible for them to do and then sit back and watch them struggle. That's not at all what's happening here. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's not a list of things we must do and things we can't do. It's not so much that as much as it is an unveiling. It is the initiative of God to say, here's who I am. I invite you into relationship with me on my terms. Wow. And so over the next several weeks, the Holy Spirit's going to help us to see the initiative of God in providing for us the framework for relationship. Wow. Aren't you glad that God took the initiative? Can I tell you? You probably could echo this. If He'd not found me, I'd still be lost. I wasn't even looking for Him. He interrupted my life. He found my hiding spot. He took the initiative. Friends, you could say the same thing. You may have been born into a Christian family, but He still had to find where you were hiding. You might have been born into a situation where everything seemed to be just fine and you had no issues at all, but can I tell you, God still had to take the initiative if you were ever going to be found and if you were ever going to live in relationship with Him. Oh, that's the beautiful thing about God. That which He requires and that which He desires, He makes possible through His very own initiative and through His very own provision. Let's stand. Lord, we thank You. that you're a God who takes the initiative. Lord, I'm thankful for that because when I had no desire for you, you desired me. I'm humbled by that. I'm amazed by that. Even God, when you started to turn my heart towards you, there was still nothing in me that would allow me to approach a holy God in my sinfulness. And so you took the initiative. And so I'm able to say today, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. But this righteousness I now am able to put on display is not mine, but it's Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you love me. Thank you that you love us enough to take the initiative, to bridge the gap that we could never cross on our own. Thank you, God. Lord, today there may be here today some that have heard but have never allowed you to initiate relationship in their life. Lord, today, we're not going to say that you'll meet them halfway, for you've already gone the full distance. Lord, to that one that doesn't know you today, make them aware of your initiative, that they don't have to be lost if they'll just simply allow you to overcome their life. Lord, for that one today that is sick in their body, we thank you that you didn't wait for us to figure out a cure for all of our diseases. For you yourself became our healing. You took the initiative upon yourself to bring healing for diseases that didn't even exist. And so God, today we receive the initiative of God in our bodies for healing. Lord, you knew those that would be here today who are in need of a financial miracle. Lord, we thank you that you didn't leave it up to us to figure it out, but you have declared of yourself, I shall supply all of your need. And so, Lord, we receive the initiative of God today. Lord, for that one that's here today that is questioning and struggling. They don't know what's next. They're not sure. They can't figure it out. Life just seems to be handing them one bad deal after another, and they're confused and they're lost and they just don't know and they're overwhelmed. God, we thank you today that you took the initiative and that you have become our wisdom. And your word declares, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. Lord, thank you that there's no area of our life today. There's not one thing that we could ever have need of that you haven't already taken the initiative to provide. God, thank you. I thank you that it's not up to me. What a mess my life would be if it was up to me. Thank you, Lord, that out of your great love, you took the initiative to reach out to your people. In Jesus. In Jesus' name. Listen, I want you to be encouraged in the weeks, in the days ahead. The enemy's going to try to steal this word from your heart. He's going to try to cause you to forget, but I want you to remember very clearly, there's a God who loves you in spite of yourself. I want you to understand that there's a God who's not limited. He's not sitting back waiting for you to jump through the right hoops. He's not sitting back wet. He is taking the initiative. The very fact that you're here to hear this word proclaimed today is God's word to you. It is God's message directly to you today. He's a God who takes the initiative on your behalf. Because here's the thing. You don't want to, and you wouldn't even if you could. But you can't. And so he does. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Father, today I bless these, your people, in the name of Jesus. This week, as they go forth, as they go to their places of work, as they go to their homes, as they go on vacations, wherever they go today, God, I pray that you would guard their hearts, guard their minds, seal this word up into their spirits, that they would not be able to stray from the fact that you're a God who takes the initiative, that every step there's mercy, that every morning there's new grace. You, God, continue to initiate relationship with us. God, cause us to be in a place of surrender to the initiative of God. I bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What an awesome God. Amen. You can clap if you want to. Hey, be blessed this week. Be blessed. Love on each other. If you're a part of the meeting across the way, meet us over there. God bless you guys today. Amen.